Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a booze dancing media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Hey, hey, West Coast.
Hey, hey, East Coast. How are we?
We are doing okay. We're going to try something new
from opposite ends of the world, as usual. Something brand new for us. Here at Booze Dancing, we've been entertaining millions, well, mostly ourselves, with blog posts and video posts and live streams and talking about beer and whiskey and all kinds of libations.
Cocktails.
But we're going to start something brand new tonight, and we're going to be talking about television, TV, the big screen, or the little screen.
Anything we can watch on TV.
But we're going to talk about these things because when we're watching these things, we're drinking.
Yes, we are.
And what's the name of this show?
What We Watch When We Drink.
Perfect name for our show, because that's what we do. We drink and watch TV.
I think it's self-explanatory.
And what are you drinking?
I have, and we reviewed this a while back, on our Booze Dancing TV channel, the Del Maguey Pechuga.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's good. It's a mezcal, and it's got something to do with a chicken, and I don't know. It's a whole bunch of stuff. But all I know is it's delicious.
Very nice.
And I think we've had this bottle for about 6 or 7 years. And Mike, who will join us in one of the later episodes, hopefully, he was gifted this, and he didn't really care for it, so he gave me the bottle. So I've been slowly drinking it over the last couple of years.
We like booze gifts.
We do, especially when they're good booze gifts. And this is a good booze gift. And what do you have?
I am drinking the Kilhoman Loch Gorm. We like Loch Gorm. We like Kilhoman a lot.
Yeah, we reviewed that a while ago, too, and that was delicious. We did the 2019 edition, the 2020.
Oh, 2020?
2020, and it was a new one. That's right. Pretty fantastic.
So here's mine in my little
glass. Oh, nice glassware, too. Yes. Look at you.
All right. So clink to our first episode.
Cheers. Cheers to that. Cheers. All right, let's get into it.
We should also mention that all of this nonsense is going to be available on where you catch your podcasts on boozedancing.com, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and find us. Review us.
And hopefully you're entertained.
Yeah, well, at least we'll be entertained, right?
That's all that matters. And we'll be maybe a little drunk, too, by the end of this.
So our first foray here, our first show that we're going to talk about, is one that I came into here in season two that just ended, that just was posted up.
What's the show?
It's The Boys.
Ah, The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Right.
Or is it? I think it's just called Prime Video now.
Is that right? It's called Prime
I
Video?
I think so. I don't know. Who knows?
And I don't know about you. I didn't know much about this. And I only saw like one or two little video ads. And season two had just started. And I said, oh, this looks kind of interesting. So I just binged through with my better half the first season. And then we stopped. We hopped into season two, not knowing that it wasn't a bingeable show. Mm-hmm. Per se, that you had to wait weekly for your episodes.
You mean like the old days?
Like the old days. Must watch TV nonsense.
It's new things done the old way.
And we just, we enjoyed it.
I tried it when it first came out last year. I couldn't get past the first couple episodes. Now, my problem has always been that, you know, it's not exactly the most appropriate show, so I'm not going to watch it when the kids are up.
Yep.
So it's a little raunchy, and I put it on late. And when I put it on late, I get tired and I fall asleep. So to me, that tells me if I didn't stay awake, I didn't like the show. But then after some prompting from you and some prompting from my better half, who started watching it and really liked it, said, oh, you might like this show. So yeah, I went back and watched season one, and I got sucked in. My problem with the show the first time around is I had to find, like, the show has to have a heart. And I thought it was a little cold in the beginning. You know, but then once you get to know the characters a little better, like Huey in particular, I think he's like the heart and soul of the show for the most part.
He is. Yep.
He's the moral compass of the show to a degree.
I suppose so, sure. Yeah.
To a degree. So, you know, him and Starlight, once they started to kind of build a relationship, then I really started to get into it. And you learn more about Butcher and Mother's Milk and all the other characters. And you just have to, they have to grow on me for a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. It was, I think I was a little bit surprised by the level of violence
Oh, the level of violence is insane.
That usually turns me off. But I realize this is, in essence, a cartoon, so it's not real. And you have to kind of get past that. And the blood's really not coming out of the TV. It's not
it may not be real, but it's bloody as hell.
It is very bloody.
And it's gross.
It's gross. And to the point where it can be a little bit excessive, I think it's almost... You didn't watch
Game of Thrones.
Nope. But same thing. It kind of gets excessive, and it's fine. But you have to kind of get past that. And after a while, it becomes, you know, it's cartoon violence. It doesn't even really matter anymore.
Right. Exploding heads, et cetera.
Yeah, and you have to find those people you might want to kind of be connected to in the show and find their story potentially interesting. A couple things that I found really quickly was the people that I recognized. Like maybe that's, you know, your go-to thing is, who do I know in this?
Right.
And I realized I knew Carl Urban from someplace. He was on Star Trek as McCoy, and he was in Lord of the Rings.
He was in Ragnarok.
He was in what?
Ragnarok,
right.
So he's been around.
The guy that plays Frenchie, Tomer Capon,
he's Israeli, correct?
He's Israeli. Him I know from all these Israeli shows that I watch.
Okay.
That I've watched. So he's been in very big shows too. Fauda, and he's great, and he plays a French person, of course, and not a Israeli. So and then of course Elizabeth Shue. What is she doing in this show? And then you pointed out to me that Homelander was the guy from.
He was the sheriff in Banshee.
The sheriff is that.
And you never knew his name. It's Anthony Starr. I think he's either Australian or New Zealand.
I would have never guessed that it was the same guy from
Banshee. Yeah, it took a little while because he looks completely different.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting show because it touches on a lot of themes. And I actually was thinking about this conversation we were going to have, how many, it's almost throwing as much as you can against the wall and seeing what's going to stick.
Yep.
They touch on so many things. And of course it was probably done in the last couple of years, all this production. So it's touching on a lot of current events that we're dealing with now.
Right.
And it's almost too much for me at times, that it's too current. It's too reflective of what the real world is at the moment.
It's like, how did you guys do this? How did you time this so perfectly?
Well, because this stuff has been going on for so long. If they had stuff about a pandemic, that would have been amazing. Uh-huh. It's a really interesting look on also, and maybe mostly, about the way we've all kind of lived in the superhero world of Marvel and DC in the last 20 years of TV and movies. They've ruled our universe from Batman on.
You mean the Marvel Cinematic Universe has taken over the universe?
And DC, both of them. Right. And we've been going to these movies and watching the TV shows and waiting for the next one of whatever it is. And all of the subgenre stuff and
this
thing is trying to flip it on its head. And there's a constant pushing against those things that we're used to, which I like.
By the way, I had some sad news.
Yes.
The bottle has been emptied.
Oh my gosh.
This is my last dram of Pechuga.
Well, you know, this could be our last episode, so that's good timing.
No, you know, we go out swinging. So yeah, I enjoyed The Boys. There was the second to the last episode of the second season was a little bit much. Mm-hmm. It kind of lost me for a second there, but I think they pulled it all together for the finale, and it was pretty well done.
I remember saying to Mrs. Satellite Engineer on the last episode, on the finale of season two, where is the conflict going to come from for next season?
Don't spoil it.
No spoiler here.
Did you listen to the interview with the producer or the creator of the show?
Yes,
on The Watch?
Yes, I did.
And they talked to the baddie for the third season.
Yes.
And apparently she didn't know.
That was a miscommunication, right? They didn't tell her.
Or maybe it was intentional.
He made it sound like it was just a screw up and that she didn't know. And I found that actually kind of nice, you know?
It's kind of fun.
It is. It's kind of fun. It's not all corporate-y and there was like 25 people in the know about how this was going to happen and not the whole cast.
Well, it's like, you know, you heard stories about Breaking Bad and Jesse was supposed to die after the first season.
Right.
You know, and I think they had him written out of the script, but I guess they liked him so much and he was so good or maybe, I don't know if it was him that convinced them to keep him on or his agent, whatever, but he was supposed to go after the first season.
Yep.
And he stayed for the full run, so...
Well, story arcs are always interesting and in writing, and you know, you've got what are these eight to ten episodes, I think, seasons?
I think it's eight.
Yeah. You know, when you have eight, you can kind of write up the whole arc for the year. Where you don't know though you're gonna get a second season.
No.
You don't know you're gonna get a third season.
Right.
So you are sort of we're not behind the scenes, but maybe the showrunners do know, so they can kind of write it, those last episodes, for something in the future that probably is going to happen, but the audience doesn't know that.
Right.
But let's say they don't. It's really tough. You want to put some finality to it, but you also want to leave it a little bit open-ended. Just in case you get a third season. And I think we heard they do have a third season coming.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Who was your favorite character in the show?
You know, I really started to like Frenchie. I like Butcher just because he's just fun.
Yeah.
He's just a fun character and just, you know, the things he says that I'm not going to say here because we're going to try to keep this clean.
Yep.
I liked a lot of the characters. Who was the other one? I think I liked Frenchie and Butcher the best. Mother's Milk was really good too, though.
He's good.
Huey's good, but he's just kind of...
Not my favorite character.
No. Starlight's grown on me.
Yep.
She's gotten a little bit more interesting.
I like the Japanese character.
Yeah, she's good.
I cannot think of her name.
I don't remember her name, but the one who's with Frenchie.
With Frenchie.
She's really cool.
I think her backstory is interesting.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really done well. Her
character is interesting, and watching it evolve is very good.
So, yeah, The Boys was fun. I enjoyed it. I thought it ended really well. It ended really strong. It's got me interested for the next season.
I am interested. It was fun to watch. Me and the missus don't have a whole lot of shows we watch together. So it was good to have one. And we both found it kind of fun.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat.
Yep. So we enjoyed it. And I too would like to, look forward to season three. I just wish it was bingeable. I was really surprised when I didn't realize that, and we had
You know what, though? It stretched it out. And I think it's good sometimes to stretch it out because it gives you time to rewatch and also gives you a little time to digest because I find when I binge, I forget when things happened.
So, and we get that with HBO shows. So it's not like it's a brand new concept. We watch various things on HBO that are just weekly, and that's fine.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's good. It's good for a change.
It's really all one long day these days, so it doesn't really matter. It's all one big binge.
This is true. You know?
Like we're binge working, binge drinking. No, not binge drinking. We'll skip that. We're responsible drinkers.
This Loch Gorm, by the way, is delicious.
Is it? Well, you know what?
So I've been on this thing about kind of an anti-wine cask, sherry cask finish
whiskey. Well, that's been a long time, though.
Always, but there's been more coming at me lately from various places, and I've just been, where's my bourbon casks? Where's my rum cask? Rum casks are in a different category for me, but this actually is, I remember this being a subtle wine finish.
Mm-hmm. It's very well done.
It is really good.
For those that are listening and are not Scotch drinkers, Kilhoman is what, the second oldest distillery? Second youngest distillery on Islay, which is an island off the coast of Scotland. It's part of Scotland. So they are one of the youngest, and I've been following them for the last 10 years, and to be honest, I haven't had a bad one yet.
I believe they're actually only 15 years old.
I think it was 2005.
Right? And they Yeah, as you said, they're the second youngest. There is one distillery there that is, what, Bowmore is 300 years old, I think.
Something like that.
And so you've got these very old distilleries, all known for their smoky pea-flavored scotches. And then you've got this new kid on the block who's only 15 years old. Everyone's hundreds of years old. And they are just a really unique, small, family-owned distillery.
And the funny part is that it's not even owned by Scotsmen. It's owned by Englishmen, right?
That's right. That's right. The Wills family. Yeah.
The Wills family.
Yeah.
Lovely folks. Lovely folks. Lovely whiskey. Lovely folks.
Exactly. So right. Coming up, TV-wise.
Yes. What's the biggie? There is the marquee event.
It's starting. The marketing machine of Disney is rolling largely, is that a word? Largely? Toward us.
Huge.
Hugely. Bigly.
No. Hugely.
Hugely. With The Mandalorian season 2.
I got to say, I was skeptical of season 1. And it was really, really well done.
And this is another one that was, it's a weekly event. It's not, yep. I think it was a Friday night show.
Something like that.
And I really didn't know what to think about when it came out. Again, the missus was pretty happy, excited about it. I didn't really read much about it. And then it just kind of blew me away how entertaining it was.
It was great. I mean, it's a Western.
It's a Western.
It's basically a Western. And it goes back to, I think, maybe what the origins of what the whole series was. You know, mm-hmm. The first episode was, not the first episode, what is it? Episode 4 or The New Hope.
Yep.
Although when we were growing up, it was just Star Wars.
Right.
There was none of this business with all this other stuff. But no, that was, you know, that was great. That what's great about that movie is it's kind of, what do you want to call it? Self-contained.
It is,
you know, if they would have never done another episode, it didn't matter. I don't think they ever even thought they would have a second film, probably.
You're probably right. One of our friends is the director of this and creator is Favreau, Jon Favreau.
Ah, yes.
And so you see that Favreau attitude, I think, about in the show. I like his direction of things. And he did that, which wasn't a great movie, but he did... Cowboys and Space Aliens. What was that called?
I have never seen that one.
It was very
Cowboys fun. And Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens, and it was fun. And there is a cowboy and Indian attitude about it, which, you know, those Saturday morning westerns were always sort of fun. Probably not very politically correct anymore, but mm-hmm. they were fun. And there's a lot of that here. You've got this dark character and who's a good
this
guy
is the but, way.
And he knows the way, and there's people out there to, you know, who want to do bad, and he's gonna be the good guy and save.
Well, you know, it's great town. Too, because you see all these folks that you wouldn't think to see in one of these movies. You know, you got Carl Weathers coming in.
That's true.
You know,
too.
You've got the man who's in every single show who came in towards the end of the first season, Giancarlo Esposito.
Yep.
Who else is in it? I mean, who's the German director? Werner Herzog.
Yep, he's got.
He's got a bit part in it. It's just a great cast of characters. They had Amy Sedaris.
That's right, she was in that.
You know, yep. Amy Sedaris was in it. Bill Burr.
Oh yeah, Bill Burr's in it too. That's right.
He
yeah.
was in it briefly. I mean, it was just great. And what I would normally probably hate under most circumstances, Baby Yoda, was really well done. Also,
well, it's done well for a couple of reasons. You know, you only expect great special effects from mm-hmm. these folks, right?
Right. Although ILM and all that kind of
stuff. You do see some, you know, questionable things with some of the, you know, in some of the movies sometimes. This is seamless. It's really amazing to me how well that's done. I don't understand how it's done, but it's well done. And you don't even think about it being not real. And the character has heart.
And to me, I need somebody to latch onto with the show. You know, you need a character that you want, you know, like, let's say, you know, not to go off topic completely, but with Better Call Saul. I mean, Kim is the heart and soul of that show.
Correct.
So,
and she's she gives reason to like or not like Saul.
Right.
She's this push and pull on him. And Baby Yoda is the same mm-hmm. thing for the Mandalorian.
Right.
Got this dark, whatever he is. We don't mm-hmm. know what he is in the beginning. He changes dramatically when this Baby Yoda comes into his life, and he has to make this decision about keeping over him or watching over him or not. And it's an interesting way of connecting you to this other character from this little doll thing, whatever it is.
Right.
It's done really well. And it's done well.
Fun.
And they're only half hour episodes.
How that often, helps also.
Isn't that interesting how we're used to hour long movies mm-hmm. now.
Right.
And stretched out with 10 of those things. These are half hour. And there were 10 episodes or so? I mean, you're not talking like a whole lot of TV.
No, not at all. You can go back and binge watch before the show starts.
Yeah.
Just to recap.
I may rewatch a couple of them before.
I may do the same.
Yeah.
When does new season start?
I believe it starts at the end of the month, end of October.
Okay, end of October. So we'll be talking about that. So stay tuned for a future episode of that.
Yep. Apple Plus.
No, Mandalorian's on Disney Plus.
I'm sorry, Disney Plus. Correct. Disney yes. Plus. Yeah. Disney it's Plus. Kind of confusing where all these things come from.
Yep. Hey, look, you know what? If any of them want to sponsor us, by all means, we'll take your
call.
Money. Give us a
We're
call.
In the book.
We'll be there. What's his name? Iger?
Iger. Bob? No, Bob. Is Bob still
baby.
Working? I thought he was trying to retire.
Whatever. Come on. You don't walk away from that. You don't walk away from Disney money. Come on, Bob.
He was
Give
trying.
Us a call.
He was trying.
Or who's the guy
He's
at
vested.
Apple?
The guy's vested.
Who's the Apple guy?
Tim Cook.
There you go. Tim.
Call us, Tim.
Boomsdancing@gmail.com.
I'm using my iMac.
Shoot me an email.
Right now. Call us.
That's right. I got my iMac. I got my iPhone. We're all good.
We are good.
We're golden. You guys make a microphone. We'll switch to that too.
Oh, that'd be great. Seamless.
By the way, you think that was shameless enough?
That was pretty shameless.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next segment. Yeah. So, okay, Mandalorian. We're hot for the Mandalorian.
Hot for the Mandalorian, and can't wait for it to come out in right around Halloween.
Excellent.
Okay. So now I think we talk about a couple things that we are either are watching currently or have just finished watching, but maybe not together. Why don't you start? What's your show that you've been watching or watched that something I didn't watch?
All right. So I spent about 2 or 3 weeks going through Halt and Catch Fire, which was a show that was on AMC. And it's all pretty much about the birth of the personal computer market and the birth of the internet. It kind of spans probably 10 or 15 years with four main characters. You know, there was the one character who was played by Lee Pace. And so it follows four people. So you've got Joe McMillan, who is the, I guess you can kind of call him sort of like the Steve Jobs-like, comes in with a big idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can kind of see the whole thing. He sees the forest.
Yep.
And then he meets up with the Clarks, the husband and wife, Donna, and I can't think of the husband's name. But it basically revolves around four characters. You've got the genius programmer. You've got the idea man. You've got the two hardware folks. And it just kind of watch their evolution over four seasons, you know, how they kind of grow as they go.
So like, is this based on a real on reality?
I would think it's probably based on loosely based on reality. It starts off in Dallas, and the show moves its way to Silicon Valley, and they go out to San Francisco and Palo Alto, you know, as they move on and try different ventures. So you know, first it was like it almost sounds like it was like the birth of Dell. Or
That's
maybe
what I thought there was a Dell connection to it.
Sort of. It was like a small Texas company that used to do like transistors and radios and, and you know, big equipment. And they, you know, they come out. This guy Joe comes in and he talks to this guy, you know, Mr. Clark. I can't remember his first name. Oh, Gordon. And, you know, it convinces him to build the personal computer that he always wanted to build. And I think that was like almost like, you know, the first portable. I think they said they wanted it to be under 15 pounds. Can you imagine walking around a 15-pound computer, you know, with a little tiny CRT of like, you know, 4-inch screen and a big keyboard? It's just amazing how much the technology's changed.
So this is taking place in the early 80s?
Yeah, it starts in the 80s and it goes to probably like the early 90s because it ends right around the birth of, remember Netscape?
Yep.
So they were, you know, at the end of the series, they were working on almost like a Yahoo. Mm-hmm. Remember how Yahoo used to be where you have categories? That had all the websites listed where they were sort of doing the same thing. And actually Yahoo was mentioned and Netscape. But it was neat to watch the evolution of the characters. Like Joe comes in, he's a super cocky guy, always in a suit. He was a former IBM guy. And then by the end, he just kind of, you know, he gets a little more heart and he becomes more of a, you know, well-rounded person. And they all grow and everything like that. Like the wife of the main character, Donna, she was just the housewife, also a brilliant engineer. Her and her husband met at Berkeley and, you know, both really, really smart. And, you know, she grows. She goes from, you know, being like a hands-on nuts and bolts person to becoming like in the venture capital. And then there is Cameron, who is the genius programmer, who kind of, you know, takes a code apart, rebuilds it, and also comes with other ideas. And they kind of like, they're all together in the first season. Then they kind of split up to a degree because there's all kinds of problems. It's a little melodramatic, but the characters are great. And it's really interesting to watch like the evolution of the characters over the four seasons. And the fourth season in particular was really good.
I find the shows that are loosely based on real events, even fictionalized ones, about tech pretty fascinating. You know, this is, we're in college in the 80s, right? And we're just starting to learn about computers, but we really don't know at the time how this is all happening. Somebody puts a computer in front of us in college or wherever, and here, just learn basic programming. And it just showed up out of nowhere. It's like the typewriter that was at our house. But there's some big story going on behind that we don't know about, like the Apple story, like the Microsoft story. And I read a book about the game Doom, and how this sounds very similar, that the two guys got together and started early game writing and on these very early computers, and they build something up and people like it. They start fighting, they split off, they want to sell the company to big company A or big company B, and one guy's got a drug problem, and one guy's got, you know, higher goals for the company. It becomes a bit of a soap opera, but that's how companies are built. And that this actually really happens in real life.
Especially those, because it's big egos and big personalities and big ideas.
And with programming and computer guys, they, you know, they're sitting in front of these, you know, back then, widgets, computers, programming all night long, and no different than we see today. And they are totally involved and invested in their work. And they've got this great idea for something, but they don't know where it's going to go. They don't know that it's going to be an iPhone one day.
The show touches upon a bunch of things that, you know, are kind of very prevalent now. So it was like message boards. That was one of the big starts. And then online gaming. And like the one that the genius programmer actually was really into gaming. And that was her thing. And there was like a bit of a rift between the two, because the Donna character and the Cameron character, they grow really close together and they work really closely together. But they have, you know, two different attitudes about this program they're starting. This Mutiny, which is almost like a CompuServe or an AOL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like a precursor to that. And it was very small market. It was all in Dallas. And, you know, there was two ends. Like, they started it with the gaming, but then they found that the community piece started to grow. And all the message boards, like the Reddits and the Craigslists of the world. You know, I guess that's where all this stuff started. It was almost like early social media.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. It was really interesting. It was more about the personalities.
And you watched all four seasons?
I watched all four seasons. The last season was fantastic. And the last four episodes, I mean, it ended really strong.
Yeah.
It ended. Dave did a really, really good job of ending the show. It was interesting.
I may have to go back. Where did you watch this?
It was on Netflix.
On Netflix.
It used to be on AMC, and I think it was on after. I can't remember. I think it came on after Breaking Bad.
That sounds sort of familiar.
So the problem is, if there's a show that comes on at 10 o'clock, I start to have problems because I'm getting tired.
I know the feeling.
So 9 o'clock is the sweet spot. 9 o'clock is the sweet spot for all the shows, and all the premiere shows get the 9 o'clock slot.
Yes, that was me opening a bottle.
Very good. What you got?
Pouring a little more of the Kilhoman.
Excellent. But, you know, 9 o'clock is a sweet spot. 10 o'clock is always like the also-ran. So I always have a hard time with the 10 o'clock show.
Yeah.
You know, like The Wire, when it first came on, I think was on right after The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah, on HBO, yeah.
And that was a little tough because it was 10 o'clock and my attention span starting to go. So I didn't get it at first, but then I went back and I really started to like it. So there's like a theme, you know, like all these shows. If you can't get me in with the first three episodes, so I'm trying to be a little more patient because time and time again, I've been proven wrong.
Well, that's a good one. You mentioned The Wire. I had never seen it. You had told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back on HBO and binged the six seasons?
I think it's five.
Over, I don't know how much time. Mm-hmm. And I was the same way. This is not a show that I really, it doesn't sound like a show I'd want to watch.
Well, with that show, you also have to get the rhythm of the dialogue.
And you're right. And it took me a few episodes to kind of get with the rhythm of the whole show. And mm-hmm. and then, of course, every season's a little bit.
A little different.
A whole different chapter, not just a continuation of the same story. It really takes a turn each in that, new characters and new storylines. But you're right. It takes a little time to kind of stay invested. And I'm glad I did. That was great.
And I mean, with the whole, the way TV is now, everything is kind of almost like a novel, mm-hmm. which, that was the whole thing with Dave Simon with The Wire, that every season was a new book.
Right.
And every episode was a chapter.
Yes.
So, and it's like a book. It takes you about a chapter or two to figure out the lay of the land, figure out what's going on, figure out the characters. So I need to be a little more patient is really the moral of the story here.
Well, and I think with the amount of TV, it's difficult because with the amount of shows that are available, mm-hmm. you want to not have to waste your time.
Correct.
So part of it, you have to kind of rely on word of mouth, or is that first episode going to hook me in, or do I have to kind of sit through a couple episodes to hook me in? It's mm-hmm. it's a crapshoot a little bit.
Well, you've watched TV with your kids every once in a while, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And do they, like, as soon as the show starts, you could be on like the pilot episodes and they start asking you questions, like you know what's going on.
Yeah. Well,
it's like, look, this is all. I'm right there with you. I've never seen this before. It takes a little while to, I don't know what's going on as little as you do.
Right.
Some shows lay it all out for you, and some shows just give you bits and pieces, and you got to figure it out.
And I find that, you see trailers, you see commercials for some of the stuff, or you read an article about it, and that sounds interesting. Oh, that little 30-second ad was, whoa, that looks good. And then it's the old bait and switch almost. mm-hmm. You start watching that first episode and, what, this isn't, did I see all the good stuff in that 30 seconds?
Yeah.
This isn't kind of catching me like it did in that trailer, which means in a lot of times you really need to go, you got to wait for it. There's more coming, hopefully.
Well, like Perry Mason, I stuck great with it example. because I like, I like Matthew Rhys, and I like the cast that they built around the show. But the first four episodes were a bit of a slog.
Yep.
And then it kicked into gear. Once it kicked into gear and he became Perry Mason, then the show picked up steam, and then it was really, really good.
I got invested in that, well, because of Matthew Rhys.
And you know what? It goes back to Penderin. So
it goes back to whiskey. So that was it's a period piece, right?
Yep.
Los Angeles in the 1920s.
And that's a fascinating 30s. Period. I mean, it totally is. So
that,
is.
For me, being on here in LA, that to me was why I found it. I want to see more of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the story's getting good too. Oh, and Tatiana Maslany's in it too. Okay. Right. Okay. It's starting to build. But uh-huh. for me, it was about initially about Matthew Rhys and also about just the environment.
What's your show?
I am in the midst of watching a show on Apple Plus, if that's what it's called, right?
Yes.
Called Tehran. And I have this love for Middle Eastern drama, Mossad, police, military shows. It's about a character who is a Mossad agent, a woman, who is going into Tehran to ultimately blow up something. And she's not, of course, Israelis can't go to Iran. And she is snuck in there and things go awry. And she has to stay longer than she expected to. And her handler there has to help get her out. I'm not done with this series, the season. And she's also trying to communicate back with home base in Israel. and there's a the Iranian secret police or their version of the CIA or FBI is onto her a bit and trying to figure out why this Mossad agent is in their country and what she plans to do and how they're going to catch her. And it's done really well. And a couple of the characters I'm familiar with who have been in other shows. Mm-hmm. In fact, it dawned on me where I knew this one character. He's the lead Iranian agent trying to figure out what's going on here. He plays a some sort of Middle Eastern terrorist in Homeland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And it for a season, and I think Carrie has to. He's in a few seasons, I think, and she has to, you know, hunt him down. And he's actually, I've seen him in a few other. He's been actually in some of the Israeli shows that I follow. And there's always this connection with all these shows. The guy who started the show that was that in Israel that ultimately became Homeland here, mm-hmm. he's behind this show as well.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Behind another show that has been playing on Netflix called Fauda, F-A-U-D-A, which is about I believe they're Israeli army agents that go into Gaza and into the occupied territories to, you know, get bad guys. And same guys behind all of these shows. The language bounces between Israeli or Hebrew and Farsi and English and French, and it's all over the place. And mm-hmm. and I don't know where it's filmed. If it's
but the subtitles,
there's subtitles English. Too. And I don't know where they
because that would be confusing.
It would be confusing. I don't know where they film the Tehran scenes, but I'm sure it's not actually there. But you gotta get. I think you get a pretty good feel of what the country might be like right now. I find that whole war part of the world interesting, and how governments work with their military, and how military tries to enforce things and suppress things, and how other governments try to
for the good of the people and the good of the country
for the good of some people, whoever that is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the actress who the lead actress is great. She's not necessarily your kick-ass CIA super duper operative. She's got a little bit softer side, and she's all there alone and trying to figure out how she's going to complete the mission.
Is she bipolar?
She probably is. They always are, aren't they?
I would think of that, you know, in that line of business, though, you got to be a little nuts.
Well, it's like I say with those.
Nuts is not the correct term, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. All those British crime dramas, another genre that I love. It's always a heinous crime, some horrible, horrible person doing some heinous crime, and a cop or detective or someone who's going to solve the crime, and they're as screwed up as the person that they're trying to find.
Yeah, one They've point
got some
case in point, like Luther.
Exactly. But they're all the same way.
Yep. All of it's good. Shows. There was actually an article in, I think, The Atlantic about either The Atlantic or Slate, one of those sites, about the British crime shows and why they're better than the American shows. And I would think they are to a degree. The American shows are a little overblown.
My biggest problem with the ones I've watched, which I love, they seem to be very formulaic. And I think what I just said, it's the same formula. Screwed up cop trying to solve a horrible crime, mm-hmm. and battling their own demons in the process.
And yeah. So you know what they need to do? They need to do what we're doing, podcast.
They really should.
That'll exercise our demons.
Oh, that'll it. That and alcohol.
Well, yes. This is what we drink.
So far, I think I'm on episode, and it's again on Apple Plus. It's a weekly show.
I think that's the only streaming service I don't have right now.
And the only reason we have it is because we bought new Apple TV devices.
Oh, okay.
So it comes with a year. And I don't know how much it costs to stay with them, but so we are probably getting close to deciding whether we want to stay with it or not.
Well, they've got a whole deal going now too. I think you could do a bundle where you can get Apple, you can get iTunes, I guess Apple Music,
right?
Apple News, Apple Plus, and something else for like $20 or something.
A month?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's all about the subscription.
That's it. That's where it's all
going. Hey, that's what we're trying to do too. So, you know, we'll just throw it out there. Subscribe.
You're not watching. Subscribe.
Yeah.
Boozedancing.com, if we didn't mention that before. Okay. So our last segment is kind of what we're kind of interested in watching that's coming up that maybe aren't a little bit under the radar stuff maybe.
I mean, we already talked about The Mandalorian.
Yeah. That's kind of not a given. So under the radar.
No, that's beyond under the radar. That's kind of, you know, they can't do any Star Wars in the theaters right now. So Mandalorian it is.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, do you remember Prime Suspect? Did you ever watch that with Helen Mirren?
No, I didn't.
It was a crime story. She's a detective, like DCI, or what do they call that?
DCI.
DCI?
DCI Luther.
Well, she's DCI Tennyson.
DCI Tennyson.
And I think the show goes back to the 90s. And I like Helen Mirren.
Oh, yeah.
And she's I think they've done like 6 or 7 seasons. But the seasons are like 2 episodes. And they're like an hour and a half episode each. And it was on PBS for years, but I never watched it on PBS. And for a while there, you had to subscribe to it. Like, it wasn't available on Amazon. But now I noticed that Hulu has all of them.
Oh.
So it's supposed to be really good. And I think I saw parts of the first episode, and it was very good. So I want to go back and watch that. And also, going back to our discussion of The Boys, Stormfront.
Yep.
Aya Cash.
Yeah.
So she's on a show called – she was on a show called like I'm the Worst, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah.
It was an FX show?
Yes. Is it I'm the Worst? It's something like that.
You're the Worst.
I mean, it's You're the Worst.
You're the Worst. So she was on that, and that's also on – Hulu. So I may go back and watch that because they were pretty short. It was the whole, you know, you could rip through these things. So, and I watched the first episode. It was kind of funny. So I may go back and watch that. So that's 2 things going back. Because, I mean, other than The Mandalorian, I can't think of anything new that's coming out right now that I really want to watch.
So for me, there's a show coming actually on PBS coming up. And it's with one of my favorite actors, Hugh Laurie. And it's called Roadkill.
Okay.
And he plays I think it's coming up at the end of the month on PBS. He plays a conservative member of parliament. Okay. And I think it's a bit of a soap opera kind of show. Uh-huh. And his world is crumbling around him. And he's got to figure out, I believe, ex-wives and new wives and politics and all the whatever skeletons he might have in his background. And
there's always skeletons in the background.
There's always skeletons in his background, right? And I just love Hugh Laurie. The guy could just sit on TV and read the yellow pages or the white pages of London phone book.
Let me tell you, if this thing continues and they can't go on set, that's what he's going to do.
He may be doing that pretty soon.
As long as he can get paid.
Yes.
He's got one viewer.
That's right.
You, my friend. You.
I'd be watching. The other one that apparently it's coming in season 2, and I don't really know much about it. It's a show on Amazon Prime called Utopia.
Interesting.
And I think that's based on a comic as well. And John Cusack is I believe he wasn't in the first season. Okay. And he's coming into the second season. And
he was just on, I think, Marc Maron, and he was talking about it.
He plays some sort of wacky doctor of some sort, and it's gotten some pretty decent reviews, and it's kind of chaotic show.
And we like the Cues.
We do like the Cues.
Cusack is cool.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And he's been around.
Yeah, and it's interesting because he doesn't do it seems as if he doesn't do as much acting as he used to. He's much more political than he used to be.
Uh-huh.
It seems like he would drop everything to just be a political.
I think in the interview he said his first big movie was Say Anything. No, not Say Anything. I'm sorry. Sure Thing.
Sure Thing. Yeah.
Sure Thing was his first big movie, and that was probably like what, 1986?
Yeah. Probably.
Something like that.
Is that Demi Moore?
No, maybe earlier, because Say Anything was probably like 87. 88. I think it was in the 80s.
Well, you mean a movie he wasn't a lead in.
Right, I mean, that was his first big lead role, big I think. Lead,
yeah.
Because he's in 16 Candles. Pink. Yeah. And that's right. He's in 16 Candles. I'm sorry. I'm confusing them.
Gross Point Blank. His. We could do a whole episode on John Cusack. We might.
Oh, yeah. He's been around.
Better Off Dead, Say Anything. Gosh. The Sure Thing. Just those great movies. And Gross Point Blank. High Fidelity.
Oh, I like High Fidelity.
Okay. Now, we're talking John Cusack. This connects back to our, if we want to put a button on our episode here, he connects back to The Boys.
Does he?
Yes.
How?
Because his sister is
Starling. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Joan. Is that Joan or Anne? I think it's Joan Cusack.
No, it's not Joan Cusack.
It's Anne Cusack then.
Right.
Right. That's right. It's Anne plays Starlight's mom.
Yep.
Look at that.
I know.
How did there we do go. That?
We turned it all. We burned it all together.
We burned the darn barn down and tied it all together in the process of the fire.
Is that a thing? Do you burn things down and then you tie them all together? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Because we like
Maybe that's how they do things in California.
We like mixing metaphors and cocktails.
And you like burning things in California.
So episode one, I believe, is in the books.
It's in the books.
This one might be Hall of Fame category.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
So was this like our first at bat and we swung for the fences?
We
and
did. We hit it. We went
in Fenway and we just conquered the Green Monster.
We went over the Green Monster. And if you remember the great movie with Robert Redford, baseball movie.
Oh, yeah. The Natural.
The Natural. We knocked the light stanchion out and sparks flew.
And did we break the bat? Is Wonder Boy dead?
Wonder Boy is dead.
We broke the bat. We put out the lights. And Glenn Close is waiting for us at the hot dog stand?
Yes, she is there.
Nice.
Possibly the greatest podcast episode ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Look out, Bill Simmons. We're coming for you.
I don't think there should be any more podcasts after this. We're done.
We're done?
Mark Maron. We've broken the podcast formula tonight.
Joe Rogan.
Boom. Gone. Boom. Gone.
Later on, Joe.
Adam Carolla. Gone.
So this is the blues gathering experience. That's what this is.
Well, my friend, we did it. Episode one in the books. Watch for it on all of your podcast places, wherever they call that.
Platforms, is that what they're called?
I hate podcast. I'm going to say broadcast.
Broadcast? We're broadcasters?
Yeah. We're broadcasters.
Uh-huh.
The broadcast is done.
All right. All right,
friend.
So, folks, if you like what you heard, by all means, subscribe on wherever you get your podcast. And please leave us a review. Apparently, that's a thing. So do that. And we'll be back with episode two. Cheers, folks.
Cheers.